Now let's continue on. I think that that is significant for all of us to know from the point of view that in order to understand how some of the prophecies can come together that we read, we need to understand what's going on in the world in different places. And this was a real eye-opener to me. I never knew anything about this fellow. Now, I read the Quran years and years and years ago, I think about 40 years ago, and I recognized that there were some things in there about Jesus and so forth, because they say he's a prophet, but I didn't remember any of the things that he brought up there, which are really quite significant. And I think the important thing in this one, too, that is important is when he was in such terrible straits with his family, and then all of a sudden here came this light upon him, and I think that was very profound. Now, first thing's going to be, someone will ask, well, what about him? Is he going to receive eternal life? Well, he's got a lot of things all mixed up there, doesn't he? He has a lot of baggage that needs to be gotten rid of, doesn't he? Well, I think the closest we can come to that is if we read in Revelation, the second chapter. We have two things. We have the church of Pergamos and we have the church at Thyatira. Now, the church at Thyatira fits a little more closely. Okay, so let's read that here. Let's pick it up concerning their works and faith and things. Now, he has some works, he has some love, he has some faith, he has some endurance, verse 19. Now, verse 20. But I have a few things against you because you allow that the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. Now, that's obviously identifying the Catholic Church. Because the way we identify it is this. Jezebel was the daughter of the high priest of Baal. And that goes clear back to Babylon. So it tells us that it is a church that is following the Babylonian mysteries. Okay? To teach and seduce my servants into committing fornication and eating things sacrificed to idols. So this gets into the Eucharist. Now, here's what Jesus tells them. I gave her time to repent of her fornication. She did not repent. Behold, I will cast her into a bed and those who commit fornication with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their works. And I will kill her children with death. Now, that's all of those who don't repent. So, someone's going to say, well, what's going to happen to Mario Joseph here? Well, who makes all the judgments concerning everyone? God does. What do you suppose is going to happen during the tribulation? I don't know. Do you suppose there are other people out there like that who will repent at that time? With 144,000, the great innumerable multitude? I mean, you can't say that he's against Christ. He is on his behalf, but he is not with the saints. So that puts him in a very unusual position. But remember, there has to be lying deceptions to convince people to embrace the system. And to convince them to hate us and kill us. See? So I thought that was unique in that relationship. Now, let's cover some other things that are important concerning what's happening to churches in America. Now, let's come back here to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Here again, we're going to see another very important principle. A lot of people ask the question, well, what's going to happen to the Protestants? There are a lot of Protestants who are for Jesus. There are many who are against Jesus. They've had many warnings down through history to change. And so let's see another principle that we can apply to another phenomena that is taking place, as we will see, right in the Bible Belt of the good old USA. So let's look at this principle. Let's pick it up here in verse 10, Matthew 13. Now we can take this principle and apply it. This is how we can understand some of these things. Now I know that many people, when they view this video or hear the audio, if we can get the audio clear enough to hear it, if we can't, we won't send it. Now verse 10. And his disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Now here's a principle that applies where there is a lot of intermix of error with truth. Let's look at the scribes and Pharisees. Did they not have an intermix of truth and error? An intermix of the Bible teachings and tradition? Yes. So here's what Jesus said. And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you, the called, the chosen, and the faithful, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given." Why? "For whoever has understanding, to him more shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have understanding, even what he has shall be taken from him." That likewise includes coming to part truth and part error. See? "For this reason, I speak to them in parables, because in seeing, they see not, in hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand." And so this is what we are going to see with this kind of thing. Now, let me tell you about what is happening here in the Bible Belt. And this started in England. Atheist churches. Now, I've mentioned those before. See? What's that like? Okay? And this is taken from an online source here. He says, looks like a church, sounds like a church, behaves like a church, but it's not a church. What is it? It comes complete with music, instruments, singers, sermons, and its own pastor and speakers. It attracts a gathering of hundreds of adherents each Sunday morning. And they call it the Sunday Assembly. And they're taking over Protestant church buildings where Protestants are going broke and cannot keep up with the building. Okay? It has special programs, seeks to help local communities, yet it's still not a church in the traditional sense. And this is a movement that is taking over. They do works for the community. They do good things for people. But they don't believe in God. All right? Now, think of this. Almost one-third of America's under 29 now say they have no religious affiliation. These are the so-called fuzzy faithful. And what they do? North Texas Church Free Thought. That's the name of it. Free Thought is an atheist church that has been in the Dallas-Fort Worth area since 1994 and growing. Now, what have we done with the children in school? We have taught them nothing about God. They're perfect candidates for this kind of thing. Okay? Now then, here's another one. Here's what's happening in the schools. All the control, getting rid of God. Now, here was a student who was suspended because when someone sneezed, they said, "Bless you. Don't sneeze." Okay? Now, what does Satan do in order to attract people to sin? He offers a benefit, doesn't he? Even promises something that God promises, but his way. Remember Adam and Eve? Well, if you eat of this fruit, I will give you a benefit. You will be like God. You can decide for yourself good and evil. So you have these in the Bible Belt, you have these atheist churches beginning. I've got a book that I got. It's called Faithist. Same thing. Only this one, the author is a homosexual. And so he struggled what to do about it. Rather than follow God, he blended everything together. So now he's in this faithist, atheist movement for churches. You have a blessing, a benefit. You can do the things that God says to do, help the poor, take care of the community, do good works, but God is not in it. Now, where will this eventually lead? Remember, when you first receive a benefit from Satan, it looks like a good thing. Okay? Now then, Satan Black Mask gets green light from U.S. City. Guess what that city is? Oklahoma City. Oklahoma. Because you must have freedom of religion. So you can't outlaw it. See? So what happens in these things? If there is no repentance, come back here to Revelation 2. Satan will take you step by step by step into more sin. Back here to Revelation 2. Okay? Again, verse 22. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their works. And I will kill her children with death. And that's what Satan wants. How wonderful to deceive them. Have a church without God and have everything wonderful and good and use all the humanist teachings. And then take them down the road, set them up for satanic black mass. And they're doing it right in one of the meeting halls in the City of Oklahoma Convention Center. Catholic Church even tried to oppose it, but couldn't get anywhere. Okay? So on all of these things, how they come out with a little bit of this, a little bit of that, going Satan's way, so God says, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. But I say to you, and to the rest who are in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, so there is a limit to where they can recover themselves, and who have not known the depths of Satan as they speak. And I would assume that a black mass to Satan the devil is the depths of Satan the devil, wouldn't you? Yes, indeed. I will cast upon you no other burdens. Okay? So that's quite a thing to contemplate. Okay? Now, let's tie in with this. Remember all the things concerning transhumanism? Adding genes to the human genome? Changing plants, changing animals. Now they have found a way they can do it very, very quickly. They have found that there is a genetic process called a gene driver, which if they splice a gene in to one set of the genes, like the DNA, then it has to get into the RNA in order for it to be passed on. So they found a way to do that with the gene driver. And the gene driver will come to the place where the gene is inserted on the DNA, and then on the counterpart of the RNA, it will cut the RNA and splice in automatically the new gene that has been added to it. So then the transmission of those genes becomes 100%. In anything they can do. Now, so all the movies with the avatars, all the things concerning the Chimeras, we can look for that to come about. They can make it happen. Now, how are they going to present this so they can continue on with their research. It must be a benefit. Now, you'll never guess what they chose to work on to do this as a benefit. Mosquitoes. To change the genetics of the mosquito that carries the malaria bug so that they will exterminate themselves. Well, that's a good thing. No more malaria, huh? Okay, think what they can do that with human beings. Think of where it will go. What is the end? Remember, you have to consider what is the end result. All right, let's come here to Matthew 24 again. And let's read this. We've never thought of it this way, have we? But let's come to Matthew 24, because Jesus gave a warning. And as we're going to Matthew 24, let's bring in the other scriptures that we know. Why did God destroy the world with the flood? Because they became corrupted in everything that they did. And they were filled with violence. And it was so corrupt that God had to select the animals as well as selecting the family of Noah to carry that over in the flood. Now, it's going to be the same way with us. Okay? Now, let's read it here. Okay? Concerns the great tribulation. Now, let's pick it up here, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, verse 21, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. So we are looking at some very dramatic and tremendous times that are going to happen, aren't we? Yes. And if those days were not limited, King James says shortened, there would no flesh be saved. So Satan is doing everything to destroy flesh, to destroy human flesh, animal flesh, God's creation. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be limited. All right. So they have all of those genetic things that they are doing. I've got another one here on it, okay? Genetic engineering about almost anything, that's what we've covered. All right. How do we live in days like this? I mean, you look at the news. You look at what is happening. And every day you think, well, it can't get any worse, but it gets worse. Okay? Yeah. All right. Let's come back here to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And also, we need to realize this too. What if we see all of a sudden a revival of Catholicism in whatever form, and it's really captivating a lot of people? What if we see even some people from the churches of God leave and go with them? Don't know. You see. So here's what we need to realize. And you know, it won't do any good to get frustrated and shoot your television. You're not going to stop it. So verse 1, Psalm 37. Do not fret yourself because of evildoers. And do not be envious against the workers of iniquity. God is going to take care of them. Their day will come. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. So here's what to do. Trust in the Lord and do good, and that is do good his way. Because Satan comes along and he has what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there are good things that he does to entrap people into the evil. See, do good, that is God's way. Dwell in the land and cherish faithfulness. Now, here's how our life needs to be, because we read, God tries the reins and the heart. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Do the things that he delights in, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And the greatest desire of our heart is to what? What did Jesus say we should do? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? Yes. Now, here's how you can keep from being trapped, because there are going to be a lot of things that will look very enticing indeed. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust in him also, and he will bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness like the light. Of course, that'll be at the resurrection. And your judgment like the noonday. Now, here's what we need to do. Regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of what we see that's going on in the world, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret yourself because of him who prospers in his way. And Satan's going to give benefits so they prosper. Look at all the millions that all of those who are into the satanic music, rock music, rap music, whatever kind of music, all of those who are into Satan's way with the movies and the way that they do things, when you really read it, and you read about someone like Williams, what was his first name that just died? Robin Williams, yeah. His personal comments to his friends was that he had to fight demons all the time. So that which looks good is not good. So there are going to be a lot of enticing things. Look at how much money he made. Look how much money the rock stars make. Look how much money the movie stars make. What happens to them? How many die young? How many die of drug overdoses? Look at one of the most famous. Okay, what was his name? Michael Jackson made billions. How did his life end? Okay, don't fret yourself over it. Okay? Do not fret yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of him who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret yourself. It only leads to evil, because then if you fret yourself and get frustrated enough, you're going to start sinning. And you're going to start saying, well, God, why do they have it this way? But I don't. And you have promised blessings. Okay. How do you figure blessings when you look materially around and see, well, you don't have blessings? Is understanding the Word of God a blessing? Is having the Spirit of God a blessing? Is having the protection of God a blessing? Yes, indeed. Okay. Yes, indeed. Now hold your place here and come to Psalm 73. And here's another psalm to study and read, Psalm 73, which again tells us what to do. Psalm 73, verse 1. Notice how he starts out. Truly God is good to Israel, even to those of a pure heart. So that's the goal. Now verse 2 he says, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious at the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, and their strength is firm. They're not in trouble like other men, neither are they plagued like other men. And he's referring to himself, see. Therefore, pride is as a chain about his neck, and violence covers them like a garment. And then he goes on, he didn't know what to do about it. Okay. So he says here in verse 14, for all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Here I am on God's side, and it's not working like I thought. But look at all the successful people in the world. If I said I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I thought to understand this, it was too painful for me. Now, we're going to face a lot of problems like this, see? Okay? Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. See, you have to go to God and look at what he says. You have to understand what God says, see? God wants us to be successful in developing character and godliness and all the things to qualify for eternal life. All the physical things out there. Then he said after that, we'll just paraphrase it, I saw they were in slippery places, and suddenly things came upon them that they knew not, and they couldn't handle. See? All right, come back here to Psalm 37 again, okay, and see what we are to look to here, okay? Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off. And when does God trap them? Right when they think they've got it made. Remember Haman, the Agagite? The one against Mordecai and Esther in the book of Esther? Right when he thought he had the favor of the king to kill all of the Jews. God intervened and revealed it to the king that Mordecai saved the king. And then you can go read the rest of the story. God turned the whole situation entirely upside down. Okay? But those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. It is but a little while. Now think, God is offering us eternal life. The wicked shall be no more. Yea, you shall diligently consider his place, but he shall not be there. Now here's the reward. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Think of the inheritance that is coming. Don't look at what people in the world have. And look what happens to a church when they get lukewarm, say they're rich and increased with goods, and what happens? They risk losing God. Okay? Now let's come over here to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 11. Here's what we need to look to. So let's come back to verse 10. Psalm 33 and verse 10. Here's what's going to happen to everything in the world. The counsel of, verse 10, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. Thing. And that's what the whole book of Revelation is about, and all the prophecies there. The best that man can do under Satan the devil, the best system that they can have, the world government that is coming, the control of people, the control of crime, the control of thoughts. And yes, those Christians out there, we need to get rid of them, see? Okay? Going to bring it to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the people. Now, if you don't think God is going to do that, just read Revelation 6, Revelation 7, and then you read about what God is going to do with the seven last plagues. He's going to give them one last chance to rally the world, but he's going to destroy them. Okay? Now, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's true in a physical nation, but true for us because we are what? We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation being formed, see? And the people he has chosen for his own inheritance, and that is us. The Lord looks down from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks intently upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Together, he fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. And God looks at our works. Remember, he judges everyone according to their works. Now, verse 16. The king is not saved by a great army. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. We could say today, a tank is a vain thing for safety. Okay? Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, upon those who hope in his loving kindness to deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And so that's what we need to look to with God's way. Okay. Now then, let's see what we need to be doing. Let's come to the New Testament. Let's come to the New Testament. Let's come to 1 John. 1 John. And 1 John is very important because it talks an awful lot about keeping the commandments of God. And God delights when we love him, when we serve him. Now, we can have many different kinds of problems and troubles, but God delivers us from them all. And he will help us. And he will open the doors. And he will change circumstances. Now, one thing that I think is going to be a help to so many, many people in the future is church at home. Because when they see all these atheist churches and, you know, I don't know what it would be like to go to an atheist church, but when you go to some of these churches where God is not there, what, pray tell, is the difference? See? Okay? Now then, here's what we, John, 1 John 3 and verse 16. Now this ties right in very closely with the Gospel of John 3:16. 1 John 3, verse 16, and John 3:16, right? Now, there is another interesting 3:16, which is that God was manifested in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Interesting how these numbers come up this way. Okay. By this very act, we have known the love of God, because he laid his life down for us, and we ourselves are to lay down our lives for the brethren. How do we do that? In prayer, in support, in encouragement, in helping. And what we do here with Church at Home and cbcg.org, the faithful version of the Bible, we have all of those things online 24/7. Okay? And then the transcript books that we're going to have all of these things available. See? Verse 17, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his feelings of compassion from him, how can the love of God be dwelling in him? My little children, we should not love in word, nor with our tongues. Rather, we should love in deed and in truth. Our works, our truth, and our sincerity. And all of these things come from God in the spirit of truth. Now notice, what happens with this? Verse 19. In this way, we know that we are of the truth. Now for someone like Mario Joseph, I would hope that he would continue reading his Bible. And I would hope that he would find some other scriptures there. And I would hope that God would deal with him to open his mind. See? But in the meantime, he's not against Christ, but the day is going to come when that very well may happen. We don't know. See? Okay? In this way, we know we are of the truth. Because we know the truth, we understand the truth, we keep the truth, we preach the truth. That's why we don't have any politics. Okay? And in this way, verse 20, are finishing this, and shall assure our hearts before him, have the confidence that comes from God, even when things don't look like they're working out very well. And I'll always remember the feeling it was when my little old whitey Suzu was rolling over in the air and I crashed. With no seatbelt, and the car landed upright in the middle between two lanes on this side coming south, and I was going north, two lanes on this side, landed right in the middle, right side up. And when I was rolling over, I said, oh, no. And when I, first thing that happened when I got out, I said, thank you, God, for saving me from my stupidity. See, okay. God can take care of us at the last minute. All right? And if he doesn't, well, then the next moment will be the resurrection. Okay? Now, verse 20. That if our hearts condemn us, because when we sin, we have our hearts that condemn us. And that is so we can repent. That's called the conscience. God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. If you sin, God knows it, right? Yes, well, repent. And if you see you've sinned right in the time, well, in your mind, repent right there. Oh, God, forgive me. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. There is nothing that can shake us. There's nothing can take us away from God. See? And whatever we may ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and practice those things that are pleasing in his sight. We're not seeking to please men. We're not seeking to please ourselves. We're seeking to please God. And in everything we do, whether individually or whether collectively, that's how we need to do it, see. And this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another exactly as he gave commandment to us. Now notice how all of this works. And the one who keeps his commandments is dwelling in him. And he in him, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And by this we know that he is dwelling in us by the Spirit which he has given to us. So I think it's interesting that we look out and see what the world is doing. And all of these things are frantically leading to the new world system and the new world religion. And God is working with us so that we can grow in grace and knowledge and character and love, develop the character of God, and to serve him, and to preach the truth, and to bring that to as many people as we can. So I hope that this helps you understand some of these things. All of this shows us that we cannot compromise with the truth. Because whenever we compromise with the truth individually, then we allow sin. When we allow sin and don't repent of it, then Satan comes along to give us another benefit with more sin. And then another benefit with more sin. And so we have got to really stay close to God. And in the things that we do, we have got to stick with the Word of God, the truth of God, the facts the way that they are, and take everything the way that it needs to be done. I know. All of us. Now, our family has faced some very difficult times. All of us have very difficult times to come, to go through. But God delivers us from it in his time and in his way. See? So that's the whole point that we need to learn from this. And the world is going to be an astonishing, attractive place when all of these things come to fruition. So as Jesus said, watch. Not just the events. Watch yourself. And what you do. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.